everyone, this is Sister You Actually Wanted to Know with Lady Billy Day, and we're back! And by the title, you could probably tell that we are talking about Mom Bet today, and I'm so excited to be talking about this topic because she is a phenomenal woman. But before we get into it, I want to apologize for a couple of things. Like I'm always doing, I'm always apologizing for something. Oh Lord. First thing I'm going to apologize for is, it is really hot in here and I feel like I'm out of breath, and normally I would have just been like, oh, let me turn on the fan, but I've noticed that in a lot of my episodes, there's a feedback from the ceiling fan or the fan or all the appliances we have here, so I just sit and suffer, and I would open the door, but you know how boots and socks are, so that's not going to happen. Second thing I would apologize for is if I sound a little scratchy. I do not have COVID, but it's been so hot in my room. It's been hot, and then we have like all these fans on, so it dries out everything. It dries out my skin, dries out my throat, my eyes, my hair. So my throat's been a little scratchy today. But speaking of COVID, this Omarion virus, variant, is obviously going buck wild because I now know three people who are close to me that have COVID. And fortunately, they are all fully vaccinated. Some of them even have the booster. And they said that the only thing that they really had was like a runny nose and like a scratchy throat. But I was like, oh, okay. Okay. So, but on the bright side, there's that. But then on the not so bright side, there are a lot of people who have not been vaccinated. And, you know, they're sitting there on their deathbeds over this thing. And I'm just like, this could really be preventable. And you know, like I said, this is not a religious podcast. I know that there are a lot of people who have their own religious views about whether or not to take the virus, but if that is not you and you have not taken or signed up to get the vaccine, please consider it. It's really important for obvious reasons, and if it's not what I told you already, that the people that I know who have had the vaccine and are really fully functional, like we were talking on the phone, hanging out, not in person, Lord, but like on FaceTime having a conversation, and they look like themselves, completely normal other than like a runny nose, that should tell you the difference between that and people who are literally on ventilators and are dying. So just take that in consideration, that, you know, I'm 26 years old and there are people who are 26 who have died from COVID. I mean, they've had underlying conditions, but still, they're 26. So consider that. That's just my little PSA for the day. Oh, PSA for the day. And my throat is dry. So I'm going to get a bottle of water to soothe it. And none of that rhymed. Oh, okay. I should probably get some water right now before we start. And we get to talking and then, you know. Now, I don't know if this is just me, but did you guys ever see that thing on Twitter where it said that black households will never put like the whole bottle of water in the fridge? They just leave the pack sitting out. Yeah, that's absolutely true, because we literally have the pack sitting out next to the refrigerator. So it's true. So let me take a little swiggle. All right, let's do this. This is Sister You Actually Wanted to Know with Lady Billy Day. Anytime while I was a slave, if 1 minute's freedom had been offered to me and I had been told I must die at the end of that minute, I would have taken it. Just to stand 1 minute on God's earth, a free woman, I would. Those words were said by Elizabeth Freeman, who is commonly known as Mom Bet. She was born in 1744, possibly, who knows, and is known for being the first African-American to file a lawsuit successfully and win in Massachusetts. This is before Dred Scott, who also sued for his freedom, was ever even thought of. This is a long time before. Elizabeth was born in New York and was enslaved by a man named Peter Hogboom. Hoggy Boom? Hogboom? And I'm trying to create an emphasis on not saying owned and saying enslaved instead, and not saying master and saying enslaver. It's hard. I know I'm trying to be a little more politically correct, but bear with me. Eventually, she was given to the daughter of Peter, who, and she married John Ashley. And unfortunately, her new enslaver was on the cruel side and was abusive to her slaves. And Elizabeth noted that she had to protect her own sister from being beat with a kitchen shovel and sustained wounds herself, which she had for the remainder of her life. Now, the scene of slavery in Massachusetts at that time was kind of up and coming. It was nothing like we see in the American South. So the first few slaves arrived in Massachusetts in the 1630s. There's no exact date. And it was a very small percentage of the population. But by the time that Elizabeth Freeman is born, African Americans are taking up 10% of the population in Massachusetts. And like I said, it wasn't plantation life like we see in the South. Like, there was no, like, extended cotton picking or farming and agriculture like we saw there. But here, slaves tended to work a little more domestically and have some sort of trade. That's how they did things. And, small fact, Tituba, one of the original slaves from the Salem witch trials, was in Massachusetts. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. That was like a long time before Elizabeth was born, but you get the idea. So Colonel John Ashley, was a wealthy enslaver who was also a judge and built Ashley House in 1735. And it's still open and you can take tours. He owned 3,000 acres and provided direct support to the American Revolution. You could probably already see where Elizabeth is going here, where I'm going here. But he was also a part of something called the Sheffield Declaration. Oh my gosh. You know what I was writing about the Sheffield Declaration? I was thinking about the nanny. Albus the Sheffield! Okay. You can obviously tell that I'm a 90s baby because I love the nanny. I love anything Fran Drescher. Okay, anyway. So he was part of something called the Sheffield Declaration, which was like a mini thing in Massachusetts before the Declaration of Independence. And this exact document was created in his home where Elizabeth also lived. So here are some of the quotes from the Sheffield Declaration. It says, quote, "Mankind in a state of nature are equal, free, and independent of each other, and have a right to the undisputed enjoyment of their lives, their liberty, and property," end quote. A second quote says, quote, "Every subject hath not only a right to the free and uncontrolled enjoyment, use, and improvement of his estate or property, so long as he shall continue in possession of it, but that he shall not in any manner be deprived thereof in the whole or in part until his consent is given," end quote. And this sounds very similar to the Declaration of Independence that would be written a few years later in 1776. 1776. Oh, no, that's the wrong part of the song. If you know where that's from, let me know. 17. Anyway. Yeah, that's definitely not the right part of the song. I think it was 1791 from Hamilton. Oh, I just gave it away, but 1781, not 1776. I messed up. Okay, anyway, the Declaration of Independence was written in 1776, whatever. So Elizabeth Freeman is hearing all this stuff in her home. You know what? Let me do a little more justice here. When I say Elizabeth Freeman, Elizabeth Freeman is not her actual name until she creates that name later, but for the sake of the podcast, I will continue to call her Elizabeth, even though she's called Bet, and you get the idea. It's, okay. So Elizabeth is hearing all these things, and she starts to think, why in the world does that not apply to me? And again, I thought about Hamilton when I was writing this, because the actors or the characters and Hamilton are so excited to be free of King George and to get their independence and just be like this amazing. They feel actually enslaved by another country. And I'm like, can you imagine being enslaved by people you live with? And I can't even imagine what these slaves were thinking When they were sitting there and they had their enslavers talking about, oh my God, I'm enslaved by King George, blah. And I could just be sitting there like, what the are you talking about? What is going on here? Where's my freedom? Y'all are trash. But you know what? That is exactly what Elizabeth was thinking. So what she does, she approaches a lawyer by the name of Theodore Sedgwick. So what she does is she approaches a lawyer by the name of Theo Sedgwick, who also served on the same committee as John Ashley. Now, personally, this was a very brave move, and I wouldn't do it. You know, walking up to some white guy who has the same beliefs as my enslaver, it's a little risky. You don't know what he's going to do, what he's going to say, or maybe he was giving off vibes that he agreed with the emancipation of slaves. I don't know, but I'm sure she had to be terrified. But after approaching the Sedgwick, she's like, hey, I heard all this stuff and this declaration. Why doesn't this apply to me? I want to sue for my freedom. And Sedgwick takes on the case. And she also files this case with another slave who lived in the same home as her, Dame Brougham. So in 1781, the case was brought to trial as Brougham and Bett, Bett as in Elizabeth, Brougham and Bett versus Ashley. And honestly, technically, based on the new declaration that they had just created in Ashley's home, there's no reason why there should even be enslaved people based on everything I had just read a second ago. However, the case went to trial and it was successful. She won the trial and she was awarded 30 shillings. And y'all know how I feel. I gotta do the math and figure out how much it is in 2021. So 30 shillings in 1781. I did a lot of math to come up with this number. Bless me. 30 shillings translates to about $580 in 2021. And honestly, $580 by today's standards is a lot of money. I'm not even gonna lie to you. Like, what is that? That's like your water bill, the BGE. Oh, sorry, electricity bill, not BGE. Your water, your electricity bill, your internet, a little small portion of your rent. Yeah, look, some groceries. I mean, that'll take care of some things. In today's standards, just imagine back then. Hello, 30 shillings. Come on, shilling. However, eventually, Colonel Ashley files an appeal, but he drops it. And even asks if Elizabeth would come back to work for him as a servant, not a slave. She says no. Go, girl. You go, girl. She eventually changes her name from Bett to Elizabeth after the trial. And she would go to live in her lawyer's home, Theo Sedgwick. She goes to work and live in his home as a servant and a nurse. Eventually, Elizabeth, she ends up saving for years. She buys her own home. She owned a couple of acres in Massachusetts. And then she went on to live there with her children and her grandchildren and passed on that land to them after she dies. And this is a huge thing because I don't know if it's in other minority cultural discussions, but at least in the black community, there's a huge discussion on how in the world did we create generational wealth. And if you don't know what that is, it's just basically money that just keeps getting passed on, added and passed on. It creates more wealth, you pass on to whoever. But a lot of African Americans do not have that. Now, here's the reason why. And I'll even use myself as an example. My great great grandparents, am I getting that right? My great great grandparents were slaves in the American South, in South Carolina specifically. What in the world do they have to pass on to my great grandparents? Absolutely nothing. Nothing. What they gave them was just a few acres of land and a house that they built. It wasn't much at all. At all. Now, when my great-grandfather came along, he had the house. He had a few acres of land. He opened like a little tiny store where they sold like knickknacks and snacks and soda pop and that kind of thing. But after he was still alive, but I mean, what did he have to give to my grandfather? Not very much. I mean, he gave him wisdom and all that stuff and memories, but I'm talking about money-wise. Not a lot. So much so that my grandfather had to move up to he moved out to Baltimore, Maryland to look for more opportunities. If he had generational wealth and his family was building something large enough, he wouldn't have had to come up north for more opportunity. Thank you, boots and socks. Come up here for more opportunities. Oh, God. Now, when my grandfather was here in Baltimore, Maryland, he was able to create a company that was rather successful, and he was able to pass down whatever wealth he had to my father, my uncles, and then eventually to us. But even now, I'm not rich at all. I've got student loans. Hello? Then honestly, am I ever going to pay those student loans off? Who freaking knows? But conversely, that's not the same for a lot of majority races. For example, I actually met on Thursday, Wednesday, is it Tuesday? Oh, Tuesday. I had met with a mentor at work, and he was grilling me, girl. He was really like telling me about myself, telling me what I need to do for my future. Like, girl, get it together. And he looked at me and he said, "Why do you not feel confident when you walk in a room someplace?" And I was like, "I got confidence. Like, I got a little podcast or whatever. I know I got a little confidence." He was like, "No, you don't. But like, what's going on with you?" And I was like, "I don't freaking know." Anyway, we ended up having a really long discussion, which was just awesome. And then he was talking about how he felt so insecure when he was in the Navy. So he ended up leaving the Navy. And whatever rank is after captain, I'm so sorry if you're in the military, but if you're in the Navy, what comes after captain? Anyway, he's that. So we're working together, and he's talking to me. He was just saying that he was in the Navy, and this was like the, what the heck, how old is he? Had to be like the 70s. And he was saying that all of his crewmates were, one, they were white, and they would just make references that he couldn't relate to, or he was struggling in ways that they weren't really understanding. Or when they would go home to like these huge mansions, and like they went to Yale and Princeton. And that's not to say that African Americans and minorities can't get into Yale or Princeton, but he just couldn't relate to that. And a lot of times minorities can't relate to that because they don't have the same opportunities, or their ancestors did not have the same opportunities as, let me be frank, as white people. Because a lot of white people can track where they've come from. Like, oh yeah, I'm Irish and my family's from Wales. Like, what the heck? If you ask me where my family's from, my family is from a farm in South Carolina. And if we didn't do the little ancestry DNA, we wouldn't know where we came from. Oh, we're from Cameroon, actually. Hello? Cameroon! To come through if you're from Cameroon, hello! But, yeah. There's just such a disconnect. And that's why generational wealth is so important for minorities, because we are now in a kind of world where we can start creating our own wealth and being able to pass it on to our children. And that wasn't really possible 50, 60, even 100 years ago for us. So that's why Mom Bet doing that in her time is just so revolutionary. She was able to see slavery abolished in Massachusetts, but not in the entire country, though. That wouldn't come until 100 and some years later. She died on December 28th, 1829, which is just a few days from now, the anniversary of her death. And what's remarkable is that she is buried in the Sedgwick family plot, and she's buried right next to the lawyer who helped her. And you're thinking like, oh, she was just buried. No, that is huge. Slaves didn't even get headstones, and she's buried right next to the guy she was working for. She had to be really loved by her community, by her family, by the Sedgwicks. I don't know, that's crazy. And you know what's funny? When we would go down to South Carolina, USA, with my grandfather, he used to take us through the cotton fields, and he used to take us back to his old home, and all kinds of stuff like that. And it was just a good time, but the significance was never huge to us. But one time we were just walking around and there was the church and there was a lot of headstones. It was mainly for Black people. And there were some who had gone back like at least 100 years. But if you just keep walking around, you know, he said something that will just stick with me for the rest of my life. Be careful where you walk. And I was like, okay. And you know that kind of thing where you go to a cemetery, you try not to walk like directly in front because you know the body's under there. I don't know. That's just me. But he was like, just be careful where you walk. And I was like, what? And my little girl preteen mind, I was like, what are you talking about? Like, And he was like, you don't know who's buried there. And I was like, what? What are you talking about? If I'm not even standing on anybody's body because the headstones are over there, that's where people are buried. And he was like, no, there could be slaves buried down here. And I was like, what? And it just didn't really resonate with me till I got older that we're in South Carolina. We're standing across from where a plantation used to be. And they could have just buried slaves. They did. They really just buried slaves wherever with no headstone, nothing. And I remember watching this documentary on PBS. And one of the segments was about them excavating slave site. And they ended up finding a huge cemetery of just dead slaves. And I just couldn't even fathom that maybe that was something that I was walking on. Now, granted, there might not have been anything under there but, you know, ground and dirt. But it was just a possibility that that's what we could have been walking on. You know what I'm saying? And just that they were able to dignify her enough by giving her just a simple headstone is a beautiful thing. And it just goes to show that when you really stand up for what you believe in and you're not afraid of what others might think and you really stand by your convictions, it might sound hard in the beginning and it will be hard in the beginning and you'll go through trials, tribulations, but the outcome, even if you might not see the positivity in your lifetime, someone else will benefit from it. And that is exactly where I'm going because of Elizabeth Freeman's legacy. After her, almost a few years after her, someone named Quok Walker in Massachusetts ran away from his enslaver, was found, brought back, and was brutally beaten by this man. So he said, you know what? Screw it. He sues his enslaver on the charges of criminal assault and battery, and won 50 pounds. Now, you know I had to do the math. 50 pounds today in America, 2021, 50 pounds is $8,083.68. If you live in the UK or wherever else they use pounds, that is 6,000 pounds in 2021. So he got a lump sum. However, on the bad side, his enslaver appealed the case and won. So this is trial number 2. And then in trial number 3, the court determined that Quok should have never been a slave in the first place based on whatever laws they had in place. He should have been a slave in the first place. And when his enslaver assaulted him, he was assaulting a free man. And the verdict would stand, so he would still be tried with criminal assault and battery. And years later, there was also Dred Scott, who sued for his freedom and was successful in lower court, but he wasn't successful in the higher courts. However, which is extremely unfortunate. However, Elizabeth Freeman is setting the precedent for African Americans to start to, I don't want to say fight back, that's not the right word. But for African Americans to realize that we have privileges and we should take a stand and we better get our money. I shouldn't say that, that's bad. But if you got folks running around talking about I should be free and the conditions of what a free person is, that is me. I am me. That free person is me. It is she. And when you start standing up for that, it really sets the tone for what will come years later. And we have the Declaration of Independence. Eventually, we have the Emancipation Proclamation. We have this tone where people should be equal under the law always. And I can't help but think that Elizabeth Mumbet Bet had something to do with that in the grand scheme of things. And that's why I said that whatever you're going through, as long as you stand by the courage of your convictions, even though you may not see it while you are here, someone, somewhere, will always benefit from something that you've done. And that is my PSA for today. PSA for today. Oh, and I didn't even do a little intro of where I should put the ad. All right, let me put it right here. And I'll be right back with the ending, bam. And we're back. And just so you know, August 21st is Elizabeth Freeman Day in Massachusetts. So if you're in Massachusetts or you're in Massachusetts on August 21st, raise a glass for Elizabeth Freeman. Can you believe that this is episode 9? We have one more episode to the season finale. And that's exciting. So that's really all I'm going to say about that. But like I said at the beginning of the episode, now more than ever, please, please try your best to be safe. And I don't celebrate Christmas, but there are many of you that do and cherish the time that you have with your families and the break that you have from work and just the break from everything. So even though there's a break you want to be with your family, please be safe. Wash your hands, wear your mask, even if you are vaccinated and have your booster. Hello. I think that's it, because just like everyone else, I'm tired of this freaking pandemic, and it has exhausted me severely. But anyway, so excited for the next episode, because it's gonna be the finale, and I'm so excited! And drink a lot of water like I'm doing right now, because my throat is killing me. I don't have COVID. Oh my god. That's actually a shame. Because when the pandemic first started and people were like, oh, WTF, like COVID. And I would always be like, there is literally no shame in getting sick. And I stand by that now. There is no shame in being sick. It happens. It happens. Which means don't be afraid to tell your doctor. Don't be afraid to tell your friends and your family, hey, I have COVID. Don't come around here. Because I don't know if you're on Twitter, but you see all those people who expose themselves where they're like, oh, I have COVID, but I'm about to go shake it in the club. And I'm like, girl. Can you have some respect for life? Thanks. But anywho, stay safe. I'll see you guys in the season finale. And best wishes to you all. And if I don't put out an episode then by December 31st, then have a beautiful, beautiful start to your new year. But hopefully I'll put an episode out before then. But, you know, I'm just a lazy pile of bones. Okay, best wishes to you. Bye!